Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Extra Innings Podcast, where today I'll be continuing the series that I started a couple episodes back, where I go through all 30 teams in the MLB and review their 2020 offseason moves and decide whether they improved their team or got worse. So today, we are talking about the Chicago White Sox. So to give a little recap on their 2019, they went 72-89 with a 39-41 home record, a 33-48 road record, and they came third in the AL Central. Now, this team slightly overperformed in 2019, in my opinion. I didn't expect them to be third in that AL Central. You know, they have a really tough division. I didn't expect the Royals to be as bad as they were. I did expect the Tigers to be, you know, last place in that division, but the Twins and the Indians, tough teams at the top two. I expect the Royals to be a much better team than they were, and once we when we get to the Kansas City Royals episode, we will talk about them as well. But Chicago, in the middle of the pack, they're far, you know, 28 and a half games back out of first place. They're far, in my opinion, from the Indians and the Twins, but we'll see what they did in 2020 offseason, see if it helped them a little bit. So first, we'll start off with them re-signing Carlos Rodon and Alex Colomé. I think, you know, just to avoid arbitration, these are great signings. I think Alex Colomé can have the capability to be one of the best closers in baseball. In 2019, he pitched in 62 games to a 2.8 ERA with 30 saves in 61 innings with 55 strikeouts and a 1.06 whip. The whip is beautiful. ERA under 3 is beautiful. 30 saves in 62 games. That's also really, really a pretty amazing. You know, he had a rough year in 2018 in Seattle. He was an all-star in 2016. He was really good with the Tampa Bay Rays. He, ever since that 2017 season where he led the league in saves with 47, he kind of dropped off a little bit. ERA was a little high in 2018. And 2018, it was around 3.7. In 2018, it was a 304. But then he really bounced back in 2019. He found his way with a 2.8. You know, batters weren't really seeing him well. He only walked 23 batters, 55 strikeouts. You know, you want that a little higher in 61 innings, but it's averaging almost around one strikeout per inning, which is really good. He only hit one batter. So only four wild pitches, which was a little bit of Colomé's problem. He did kind of was a little wild at times, you know. He had 10 in 2018. And lowered it down to 4 in 2019. So I think the change of scenery from Tampa and Seattle to Chicago really helped him out. I do expect him. I think this was a great, you know, one-year signing. If he plays well, sign him to a longer contract. He is entering his age 31 season, so you have to be a little wary about that. But relievers tend to have a longer lifespan than, you know, starting pitchers or everyday, you know, positional players. So I don't really see a problem with his age. I think he's had a really pretty solid career. He's a 6.5 win above replacement player in his career. He averages his career ERA is at 3.07 with 126 saves and 400 innings. I think he's a really, really good signing, and I think he has the capability, you know, to go back to that form when he was an all-star in 2016 in Tampa and really, you know, boost the Chicago bullpen. The Carlos Rodon signing, it's a good starting pitcher. I personally like him. A lot of people don't like him. I think he has what it takes to be maybe not a number one, but a number two for sure. You know, he, a couple years ago, he was pretty raw. Now he's kind of coming into his own, and I really think Chicago is the place to be for him. I don't think he needs to change the scenery like Colomé might have needed coming out of Seattle. But I do like Rodon a lot, and I think it was a good signing. You know, even if he's your number 3-4 pitcher, which I don't think he'll drop that low for them, but even if he is, let's say, I think it's a great signing. Next, we're going to go to them signing Edwin Encarnacion, to a one-year contract with a club option for 2021. You know, Edwin is up there in age. No one's going to sugarcoat it. He's entering his age 37 season, and that's if they play this year. If they don't, he's going to be entering his age 38 season. He was productive in 2019. He had 34 home runs, batting .244 with a .344 on base, a .531 slugging, and an .875 OPS with 86 RBIs. You know, his average is never going to really be there anymore. He's not really an average hitter. He's a DH, can't really play the field. You know, I think it's going to be scary with him and Jose Abreu in that lineup. To be a 2.9 win player as a 36-year-old, granted he played in New York, the Yankee Stadium, you know, very, very hitter-friendly. But, I mean, if you look at his career accolades, he's been a three-time All-Star. He's been in the MVP talks for 5 years, you know. This guy's really done a lot in Cincinnati when he started off, then Toronto where he really built his name, and then he went to Cleveland for a couple years, and then got traded to Seattle for a year, and moved on to the Yankees for a year, and now he's playing in Chicago. I believe this is a good signing. You know, it's not a very high risk signing. It's a 1 year contract with a club option. If it doesn't work and he doesn't produce the way you thought he was going to produce, then you know what? You gave it a shot. That's what you can say. But now what it does is it gives someone it puts a little more fear in the pitcher when they see Jose Abreu and Edwin right behind him in that on deck circle. It's not like you could pitch around Jose Abreu and then you're off the hook. You got to pitch around Jose Abreu and then you got to face someone who can hit the ball right out of the ballpark just as well as Jose Abreu can. So I really like this signing. Adds fear to pitchers and it adds depth to that lineup, and he's going to be that DH player. Next, another contract that I'm going to talk about is actually Jose Abreu. They restructured his contract to a 3-year extension from 2020 to 2022. Had a actually really under the radar, very solid year in 2019 with a .284 batting average, a .330 on base, a .503 slugging, an .834 OPS with 33 home runs, 123 RBIs, and 85 runs. A two-win player. His defense is not really there, but he was an all-star in 2019. He was 19th in the MVP voting. 123 RBIs. I personally didn't even know he was really raking like that. One problem with Jose Abreu, he does ground into a lot of double plays, but you know, it's obviously you don't want to do that because it just takes your team out of an inning. But you know, he's entering his age 33 season. He kind of started late. His rookie year was 27 years old. He's only been in the league for 6 years. He's done a lot while he was in the league. He's been an all-star 3 times. He's been in the MVP voting or discussion 3 times as well. One rookie of the year. So I believe that he was a 2-time silver slugger as well. This is a great signing. You know, it's your franchise first baseman. You're going to lock him up for as long as you can. This will lock him up through his age 34, 35 season, I believe. So, you know, then after you lock him up, yes, you are paying him a lot of money, but then you reassess what you're going to do with him at his age 34, 35 season. And so I like this signing, and I think Jose Abreu is one of the most under the radar because of where he plays in Chicago. Not the big team in Chicago, the Cubs. He plays for the White Sox. And, you know, he goes under the radar just like this team really flies under the radar. But I think this year or next year, depending on when we play, they're going to get the notoriety and the recognition that they do deserve because of all these moves that they've made. So, love this move. Now we're going to talk to the two catchers they signed in free agency. They signed Yasmani Grandal and James McCann. I'm going to talk about the Yasmani Grandal on a 4-year deal. It signs him all the way through 2023. It'll sign him through his age 34 season. And in 2019, he had one hell of a season. .246 batting average, a .380 on base, a .468 slugging, and an .848 OPS with 28 home runs, 77 RBIs, 5 stolen bases, 79 runs. A 2.4 win player. There's nothing more you can ask for out of your catcher. Finding a very, very good catcher this nowadays is a blessing. You can't find them all the time. You know, there's only a real, real elite group of catchers. There's JT Realmuto. There's Wilson Contreras. There's Yasmani Grandal. There's Gary Sanchez. There aren't a lot of catchers who are both good defensively and offensively, something that Yasmani is good at. You know, obviously, his defense is not as good as the likes of JT Realmuto, but he can throw runners out. He can stop balls in the dirt. You can trust him to throw that curveball in the dirt, that spike ball in the dirt, whatever you want to throw. You can trust him to throw that. He's going to put his body down there. He's going to get on his knees, let that ball hit him in the chest, and he's going to stop that ball from going to the backstop. That's what you need out of a defensive catcher. He doesn't put as much fear into runners as you would like, but, you know, he still has an arm, can throw people out. His pop time's not great. That's the only reason I kind of say that. He doesn't really put fear into pitchers, but into runners. But if you look at his overall fielding, his fielding's not bad. He really doesn't make a lot of errors. He's a fundamentally really good player. I think he actually evolved coming into Milwaukee. I think Milwaukee was the spot that he needed to be in this one year to find himself. He had a rough couple years. I wouldn't say rough, but, you know, slightly down years in 2018 and 2017 playing in LA. Maybe the lights were too big for him. I don't know. But he really found himself in Milwaukee, got himself a good contract in Chicago, and is going to probably rake there just like he raked in Milwaukee. So you're getting one of the most elite catchers in baseball, in my opinion. I have to grade this signing an A+ specifically. Then you go out, and not only do you sign one of the best catchers in baseball, you sign a very above average catcher to be his backup. You sign James McCann, who hit .273 with a .328 on base, a .460 slugging, a .789 OPS with 18 home runs, 60 RBIs, and he was a 3.7 win player. He had an absolutely phenomenal year with the White Sox. You know, you signed Yasmani Grandal and you locked him up for 4 years. Then you went and re-signed someone who could be a starting catcher on so many other teams. You know, he was your starting catcher last year. What I think it does is, first, it's going to give Yasmani a little more of an edge to fight, because James McCann is not going to, you know, just give this starting spot away. He was an all-star in 2019. He played really well. His defense is really good. He really proved himself in 2019 to be a very, very serviceable and above-average catcher. And he's going to make him and Yasmani, you know, in that catching room with their coaching staff, I believe they have one of the best catching tandems in baseball. Because it's not like if you have a night-day doubleheader where Yasmani catches the night and James McCann catches the day, you don't really lose much in the hitting. It's a very similar player. They both know how to call a game. I actually like the way James McCann does call a game. You know, you watch him call it. He's calm in there. When there's a runner on first and second, he doesn't panic, he stays calm. He takes his signs from the dugout. He calls some signs as well. And he also plates the ball really well, which is something that not a lot of catchers do today. He plates the ball really well, gets his pitchers a lot of strike calls. So I'm a huge fan of James McCann, and I think the White Sox, you know, just to get him back, really, really found a diamond in the rough with James McCann. Then they trade for Nomar Mazara, you know, for a minor league prospect. Nomar Mazara in 2019 hit .268 with a .318 on base, a .469 slugging, a .786 OPS with 19 home runs and 66 RBIs. I just want to point out that I throw all these stats at you for the stat lovers out there. You know, the reason I tell you the stats first is because for the stat lovers, they can understand what those stats mean and how valuable that player is or not valuable. But then I tell you my opinion on the move without really telling you the stats, just talking about the player as a whole and what from the eye test, what I see of Nomar Mazara, let's say. You know, I'm not a huge fan of Nomar Mazara, I'll be honest with you. I really don't love him. I don't love him as a player. I think he does have some pop in his bat, 100%, and I think he's going to probably hit around 20 to 25 home runs in Chicago. If you were playing at 162 game scale, I don't know. I don't love his defense, but then again, if you look who they gave up for him, Texas was really trying to dump Mazara. So, I mean, I'm perfectly fine with it. the reason they were trying to dump him, he made $3.3 million last year. He's probably going to go up a little bit this year to around 3.5, 3.6. So I get why they dumped him, but I also, while I don't love him as a player, I understand why they picked him up. So overall, I mean, it's good outfield depth. If you want to start him, you can. He is a starting caliber player. He's on the lower end of that scale, but he is definitely a starter. Then they picked up two pitchers to bolster their pitching staff. They picked up Gio Gonzalez and Dallas Keuchel, the big name. So we're going to start with Gio. Gio in 2019 was 3-2 with a 3.5 ERA in 17 games started, 19 total games, 87 and a third innings with 78 strikeouts, a 1.29 whip, and he was a 1.7 win player. Gio obviously didn't play as many games as he would have liked in 2019 with Milwaukee. He just also, when Gio actually pitched, which was very strange, he didn't get a lot of run support, which was very odd. You know, he only played 19 games, and in 2018 he only played 5 games, so his consistency and durability is a little bit of an issue. He's entering his age 34 season, but, you know, what's not so terrible is you signed to a 1-year deal with a club option. So, if you see at the end of this year, we don't play, right? There's no 2020, and you tell yourself, you know what? On second thought, signing him for, I'm sure the contract, I don't have the exact details in front of me, but I'm sure it's around. He made $2 million in 2019. I'm sure it's around a $2 to $4 million contract. You say to yourself, you know what? We're not a huge fan of him. We don't think we need him. Then you drop him because he's going to be entering his age 35 season at that point. But if you say to yourself, you know what? He's 35. He could be a back end of the rotation or a bullpen arm. Then you sign him for $3 million and you call it a day. That's why I don't mind signings like this. If they sign him to long term, then I would really, really question their thought process. But to a 1-year contract with a club option, you know, I can't really see. You can't say they went wrong anywhere. Then their big signing is Dallas Keuchel. Dallas Keuchel was 8-8 in 2019 with a 3.75 ERA in 112 and 2/3 innings pitched, with 91 strikeouts and a 1.36 whip. Remember, he played with Atlanta in 2019, left Houston for Atlanta. Only played 19 games, a little bit of a durability issue, had a little bit of a hampering injury throughout the season, but once again, a 3.75 ERA, a little higher than his normal, than his career average, but it's still very serviceable, and he will be their number one pitcher unless Michael Kopech takes over that spot. Michael Kopech, I'll talk about him a little bit at the end. Someone I'm really, really a fan of. The guy throws 103 miles an hour, 104 sometimes. Like, he really dials it up on that radar gun and just throws the ball effectively and efficiently and as hard as he can. He does have really good break on his breaking pitches as well. So he's going to be a force to be reckoned with when his time finally comes, which it has, but he did get sent down to the minors. But we'll talk about that a little later. So, you know, I like the Keuchel signing. Did you give him a lot of money? Yes. Does he deserve a lot of money? If you look at his accolades, yes. He's a Cy Young winner. He's a 2-time All-Star. He's a 4-time Gold Glove. And he was 5th in the MVP voting in 2015. Does he deserve it? Yes. Is he a little older? He's entering his age 32 season? Yes. But I still think he has a lot of life left in him. A lot of life left in that arm. So, I like this signing. You know, you paid him a lot. You expect him to be your number one. So, I'm a fan. Then, the signing that went under the radar, but I think is an amazing signing. You lock up a very, very young outfielder, Luis Robert. You sign him for 6 years, and I really, really like this kid. Obviously, there isn't much yet on him because he hasn't really played yet. He's a Cuban outfielder. I don't know. Any Cuban outfielder, I have a really good feeling about it. He's 22 years old. You lock him up for 6 years. You're going to lock him up until his age 28, 29 season. I don't know where you can go wrong. You didn't sign him for a lot of money. So, I'm a fan. I don't have a lot to say about it as of right now because we haven't really seen him in the MLB. But I'm a fan. The guy is lightning quick. The guy has so much pop in his bat. This kid's a force to be reckoned with. I'm telling you, this kid. Something about the White Sox, their youth movement. I know they brought in a lot of veterans this offseason. They brought in Gio, Dallas Keuchel, Edwin Encarnacion, Yasmani Grandal, You know, they brought in these vets, but they have so much young talent on this team. They're a very fun team to watch. The addition, not the addition, but, you know, the resurgence of Tim Anderson and how he is making the MLB fun again. You know, stuff like that, this team that surrounds this team. So I'm a huge fan of this Luis Robert signing. I think it's a great signing. I think, obviously, it costs money to talk to him, and then you had to jump on him, but I think they were the perfect team to do it, if anything. So I'm a huge fan. Next, they signed Steve Cishek to a one-year contract with the club option in 2021. Steve Cishek had an okay season in 2019. He's entering his age 34 season. Pitched to a 2.95 ERA, which is very solid, but a 1.23 WHIP. Played in Chicago, not really moving far, going from the north side to the south side. You know, it's a good bullpen depth. He'll definitely get into around, I would like to say, 60 to 70 games. If we were playing 162, he'll get in around 70, 60, just like he has been for the past couple of years. I like the signing. Funky motion, can throw batters' timing off. Why not? You're not paying him a lot of money. Pitch actually relatively well in the north side of Chicago. Next, you signed Aaron Bummer. You re-signed Aaron Bummer. And Aaron Bummer is one of the best lefty relievers in all of baseball. I think people don't understand and appreciate how good Aaron Bummer actually is. A 2.13 ERA in 2019, a 2.9 win player. He pitched 58 games, 67 and two-thirds innings with 60 strikeouts and a 0.99 WHIP. He was under a 1 WHIP. This is his third season in the MLB. He's entering his age 26 season. This guy is going to be an all-star one day, and I'll put anything on that. He's going to be an all-star. He's going to be in conversations for reliever of the year. He is almost unhittable. He does not give up a lot of hits. He doesn't give up a lot of home runs. He doesn't give up a lot of hits. He's just very solid. And to find a lefty reliever like that, can't ask for more. White Sox found the real gem with this guy, and they better not give him up. So signing him to a 5-year contract extension, I think, is the smartest idea you could have done from 2020 to 2024 with club options for 2025 and 2026. I just can't explain to you how much of a fan I am of this specific signing, and I think it's one of their most important signings of the 2020 offseason. People are going to say, oh, the Keiko signing, oh, the Yasmani signing, Encarnacion signing, but no, bullpen arms are so important in today's game, and especially lefty bullpen arms when you have to go up against the likes of a Francisco Lindor from the left side, or a Cody Bellinger from the left side, or a Christian Yelich from the left side. All these guys on the left side, you have to go up against, and they're monsters, but you throw a lefty on them, it throws their timing off, their vision off, their plate discipline. You throw a slider from the left side, it looks good to them, but then tails off. It's very, very important. I think Aaron Bummer, I can't stress this enough, will be one of the best relievers in all of baseball. So, to wrap it out, the last one I want to talk about is Michael Kopech. He got sent to the minors recently. You know, Michael Kopech is still a very young player. He's not old by any means. He's literally 23 years old. He has so much life in that arm. It's absolutely crazy how much life he has. In spring training, he pitched one game, one strikeout, pitched one full inning. Batter's faced. He put out the side in order. Once this kid comes up and finds himself and finds his spot on that rotation, he will be absolutely phenomenal. And I think this rotation will get so much better, adding the likes of, you know, Michael Kopech. You know, you have Lucas Giolito already up there doing their thing. You have Ronaldo Lopez, who is also really, really, you know, an under-the-radar talent. So, you know, so we're just going to go through quickly their roster. So catchers, you have Yasmani Grandal and James McCann. Like I said, one of the best tandems in all of baseball when it comes to catchers. Infielders, you have Jose Abreu, you have Tim Anderson, nothing else to say except he's a beast. You have Edwin Encarnacion, probably going to be a DH, but he's listed as an infielder. Yeah, and you have Yoan Moncada, who is a beast and will continue to grow into an even better player. It's just they have so many young guys on this team. I'm so excited for them. I'm so excited for this team. In the outfield, you have Adam Engel, Luis Garcia, Eloy Jimenez, another young, absolutely phenomenal talent that they got from the Chicago Cubs. They just have so much talent. And in a couple years, I think this, you know, rebuild will be really complete, and they'll be really competing with the Twins and the Indians. You know, the White Sox really shocked the entire MLB this year by signing who they signed, by not being, you know, passive. They really went out there and did their thing, and they did it well. So to round out the outfielders, you have Nomar Mazara and Luis Robert. This is a really solid team, you know. I'm going to give them, first of all, I'll give them their grade. Their grade that I'm going to give them, I have to give them an A. They didn't really lose anybody. They didn't lose any big names. And all they did was bring in more talent, veteran talent, which is what they needed. They needed vets to teach these young guys, you know, the way of baseball and the way of winning. They brought in winning players, you know, Grandal, a winning player. They brought in Keuchel, a winning player. Gio Gonzalez, when he was with the Nationals, winning player. Colomé, they brought him back. Carnacion, winning player with the Indians and even the Yankees. They just brought winning talent in. So I'm going to give them an A. Honestly, it's an A or an A+. I don't like giving out A+, but I really think this is one of the most perfect 2020 off-seasons you can have. I'm giving them a big jump. I'm giving them a big jump in their 2020 projected record. Considering on an 85 game scale, I'm gonna give them probably a 13 game jump and say they go 85 and 77. I think that home record gets better. I think that road record gets better. I just think they play better at I think they're gonna play better at US Cellular. I think, you know, losing record at home is not something that's, you know, especially in US Cellular, that's a very, very tough field to play in for outfielders, especially with the corner outfields. The ball bounces. But once they learn that, they're comfortable there. They'll play well. They're going to improve. So my record I give them is 85 and 77 on 162 game scale, considering you would play that many, but we obviously won't. So if we were 85 and 77, I still believe they're going to be third in the AL Central. I didn't think they did enough, you know. Even though they did so much, I just don't know if they did enough to catch the Indians and the Twins. But hopefully, you know, I think in the upcoming future, give it a couple years, 2-3 years, they will be able to catch up with those Twins and the Indians. So thank you guys so much for taking the time out of your day to listen to me talk about the Chicago White Sox. If you enjoyed, please like, comment, and subscribe. All feedback is welcomed and appreciated, both positive and negative. I'm trying to grow as a podcaster, and I want to give you guys a little surprise. So in upcoming episodes, I will be having guests. Not every episode, but I'm gonna have a guest that's a fan of a particular team. So if we're talking about the Dodgers, I already have a guest lined up for the Dodgers. I have one lined up for the Twins. They're going to come on with me and discuss their 2020 offseason and what they grade their own team. You know, I'm giving it from a perspective of I'm not a fan of the White Sox. I'm just a fan of baseball. So I'm giving it from an outside perspective. But what is a fan who watches probably almost every one of their games? You know, I don't lie and tell you guys that I watch every single game, because I definitely didn't catch all 162 games of the White Sox last year. So, you know, I caught as much as I could. I watched highlights, you know, but I read up on players. I caught up on their highlights and their film. But these guys that I'm bringing in, these fans, real genuine fans, are coming in and watching every single game that gets played by their specific team. And I think it's going to bring a fresh set of, you know, opinions to the episodes and the podcast as a whole. So once again, thank you guys so much. If you enjoyed, please like, comment, and subscribe. And I'll see you guys in the next one. Thank you.